Greetings, dear church. What a wonderful morning when we could remember the wonderful birth of our Lord and Jesus, and Lord God, Jesus Christ. Please, if you have your Bibles, open up together with me. We'll read a very familiar passage from the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And as soon as I start reading this passage, I'm sure most of you will be able to quote it by memory, because it's such a familiar passage to us. We hear this, we see this on the cards that we get for Christmas. But sometimes it's so easy to miss the important things when we are so used to something that is so common to us. So let's just look at a few things in this short little verse that we'll read together. It is a prophecy that was given by the prophet Isaiah over 700 years before Jesus was ever born. So as we read this, let's keep that in mind, that this was a prophecy that Jesus fulfilled in his wonderful birth. So let's read this passage together. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The very first thing we notice here is that there's two references to a child that is born. One is, it says child, and then a son is given. Notice the difference in terms used here. So if we look at the first line, it says, for us, unto us a child is born. This is a reference to the humanity of Jesus Christ. This is a reference to him being born as a simple baby, like any other child would ever be born. But the next line is very different. It says, unto us a son is given. Notice it doesn't say the son is born. The son is given. This is a gift from God. He gave us his son. He gave us his son because the son is not born. He's the eternal God who was in the presence of the Trinity, and he was given to us so that we might be reconciled to God the Father. And out of this whole passage, I would like to focus on one thing that in this Christmas season we all often miss. And I am a personal testimony to this, that during this time when there's so much busyness, we often lose our peace. We often are so focused on things that has to be done. We need to buy presents, we need to decorate, we need to prepare for a play, we need to prepare for a sermon, we need to prepare for songs, so much things that we all have to do that we sometimes lose the peace that Jesus came to give us in the first place. And in the reading that we just heard, it says there that when the angels came, they were afraid. The shepherds were really afraid, but the Lord gave us peace. He said, peace to man and goodwill towards man. So the title of my message today is, what does the Prince of Peace give us? What does the Prince of Peace give us? All these names are wonderful. They're all applicable to us today, but I just want to focus on this one name of Jesus Christ, which is Prince of Peace. Now, what kind of peace is he talking about? And what peace is this in the first place? And how do we get this? These are a few things that I would like to focus on in my short message today. Now, there's hundreds and hundreds of passages that refer to the peace that God gives us in the whole Bible, and there's so much to say about peace, but if we summarize all these passages into just three categories, we can primarily see that the peace is demonstrated in three areas, and there's spiritual peace, there's emotional peace, and there's relational peace. These three things is what I would like to talk about today. So what does the Prince of Peace give us? The first thing I would like to point out is that the Prince of Peace gives us peace with God. And this is the most important thing that the Prince of Peace gives us. It is spiritual peace. It is the eternal peace that God gives us when we are reconciled to him. I would like to point out that all people that are born on earth do not have this peace. It is a peace that we need to get this peace from Jesus Christ, and the only way we can come is when we recognize that we need a Savior. And our sins have made us enemies with God, and that's what the book of Romans talks about in the chapter 5 and the next chapters. We see that Paul clearly lays out that we are all sin, have sinned, and we need a Savior. And that's why today the celebration of Christmas is such a joyous celebration. We are rejoicing today because we have peace. We can have peace with God. So how can we get this peace, the peace with God? How can we get reconciled with God the Father? We have to understand that the peace that is talking about here does not come from what we do, but what God has done for us. And this peace does not exist in any other person other than the person of Jesus Christ. No man can say, oh, God gave me his peace just randomly. God does not just give out gifts of peace to other people. The only way we can get this peace is when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ and we humbly believe him in faith and repent of our sins. And this is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He gives us a clear outline of how we can get the peace, how we can get peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can have this peace with God is we come to him in faith. If we understand that we have sinned and we fall short, and that the only way we can be saved is through trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through the Prince of Peace that we can restore our relationship with God. There's no other way. We can't attain this peace on our own. It's given to us by as a gift by the Prince of Peace. And when we submit ourselves to him, then this relationship is restored with the Creator. This is the foundation that we have to understand, that all other pieces, all other areas in our life that we'll have problems if we do not have peace with our Creator. So if we have problems with our relationship with God, then all other relationships will suffer, which is what we're going to talk about later on. That's why having peace with God is so important. It's foundational to so that we can have peace within ourselves and then peace with others. So that's why God sometimes feels so far away from people, because they are in rebellion against their Creator, and the only way you can get peace with God is when you acknowledge that you are in rebellion against him. And that's the time when the peace of God can come over us. So the first thing we looked at is that we need peace with God. So this is when we come to Jesus Christ and acknowledge that we are sinners, and he gives us this peace. It is a spiritual peace. The second thing I would like to talk about is that the Prince of Peace, he gives us peace with ourselves. This is very important, because if we have peace with God, the only way this heavy burden can be taken off our shoulders, the burden of sin, the burden that we carried our whole life, the only way all this shame can be taken away is when we have peace. When the peace of God comes, and once we have peace with God, the peace of God will come over us, and it will make us whole again. So having the peace of God is what every person truly desires. And a lot of people in this world, they do not even know that they desire this peace. A lot of unbelievers seek for peace in different areas of life. They think, maybe if I go on vacation, everything will be okay. They start drowning their pain by using alcohol or drugs or other pleasures of life, pleasures of this world. And we know that this does not satisfy. The only way we can have the peace within ourselves is when we have peace with God. And then he gives us the peace of God. The Bible says that the fruit of this relationship with God is peace within our hearts. And that is what every person on earth truly desires, even though sometimes we do not know, because the world does not know how to find this peace, because they do not know the Prince of Peace. But we know that each person can have this peace if they desire. If they come to the foot of the cross, they will be able to have this true peace with their Creator. And his peace is also the answer to the question of anxiety that many Christians have also. We can't say that once you become a Christian, you will not have anxiety or any worries anymore. That's not true, because we know that the peace of God is not something that comes once. It's not something that I get, okay, I got it 10 years ago, now I have the peace of God. No, the peace of God is a relationship that has to be developed by a close walk with the Lord and by walking closely in his word. So look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says. This is a good passage that tells us how we can overcome the anxieties that we have in our life. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So notice that even as Christians, we still have anxieties, we still have worries, we still have problems that we deal with. But the only way we can grow into to trust the Lord more is by understanding that the peace of God is the only thing that will guard our hearts from walking in anxieties. And the Bible tells us in this verse that there's a peace of God sufficient to meet all our needs, because it says, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing. That means there's a peace of God that can fill every area of our life. So if we are ashamed, if we have sinned, there's a peace, there's a forgiving peace for us today. If we are hurting today, there's a restoring peace. If we have a broken heart today, there is a comforting peace. If we are worried about finances, if we are worried about not being able to provide for our family because we lost our job or something, there's a financial peace. There's a peace for us through our when we come to Jesus Christ, because if we have the peace of God, we'll be able to have this inner peace. So how do we get this inner peace? How do we get this peace with God? And we have to remember that the peace of God is a gift that only comes through a close relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a close relationship with the Prince of Peace. Remember when Jesus was walking with his closest disciples, he told them how that he gives us this peace. And John chapter 14, verse 27, right before he was leaving this earth, he told them this about the world, that there's no peace in the world, but there is peace through a relationship with Jesus. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So notice that the peace is also a gift. It is something that is given. It is given to us when we walk closely with the Lord. So notice that Jesus didn't give this peace randomly to people that were attacking him. He didn't give this peace to those that were mocking him, those that did not believe him. He gave this peace to those, the closest disciples, those that trusted him, those that knew that he had, what Jesus had everything in him to meet all the needs of man. So Jesus can meet, the Prince of Peace can meet every need that we have. And this peace is not found in some kind of meditation or some kind of self-help books that there are out there. This peace comes through when we come to the foot of the cross. The peace of God reminds us that the biggest problem in our life is already a settled problem. The problem that we had, every single person that was born on earth had a problem of sin. And if this problem was not dealt, we would all be on our way to hell today, because that's what the Holy Bible says, that if you die in your sins, you will be punished for it. So when we have the peace of God, it tells us that the sin problem is already dealt with. So now everything else pales in comparison to the problem that we had when we were without Christ. We lived in our sins, but now we have forgiveness of our sins. So all the minor problems that we have, maybe we have conflict at home, maybe we lost our job, maybe somebody is sick, all these things are minute in comparison to the problem we had that Jesus Christ took care of. The Prince of Peace restored us with our relationship with God the Father. And the last thing I would like to talk about is that the Prince of Peace, he gives us peace with others. And this is a relational peace or external peace. Now, when we read the passage in Isaiah, sometimes we wonder, what does this mean? How can Jesus be the Prince of Peace when there's so much conflict, when so much wars? There's so much rumors of war in this world. There's terrorism. There's shootings constantly. There's people doing evil things all around us. How could Jesus be the Prince of Peace? If he came, if he fulfilled this prophecy, well, we know that the only way we can have this peace with others is first if we see the progression. If you have peace with God, then the peace, having peace with God, gives us peace, the peace of God, and the peace of God, it overflows to others. This, when we're filled with the peace of God, when we're filled with the peace, Prince of Peace, then it will overflow into a relationship with others. So once we start filling ourselves with the peace of God, it will affect the way we act towards others. Before this, we used to pursue our own agenda, but once we come to the Prince of Peace, then the things that God wants us to do, the way he wants us to act, this will be shown to other people. Just imagine what a wonderful world this would be if everybody in this world had the Prince of Peace in their heart. Then this would be heaven on earth. We would never have to worry about anything. But we know that there's people that will not accept the Prince of Peace because they fight against him, because they think that they are good in their own hearts, in their own minds, so they do not need a Savior. But look what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He tells us also how important it is to what the peace does for our relationships with others. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in our ordinances, that he might create in him one new man in place of two, so making peace." So notice, before we had this relationship with the Prince of Peace, there was hostility, there was wars, there was a lot of dividing walls. But once we have peace with the Prince of Peace, then all these walls are broken down. Then now in the New Testament, there's no difference between different races, different genders, different classes. There's no difference in even different denominations. And we as Christians, we don't go around telling other people you have to convert or die. Because even if somebody else believes a different religion, we do not want to kill them for that, because we know that this is what they choose. We tell them the truth. We tell them that we believe the Word of God is the true Word that is revealed to us, and He's the only way of salvation. And if they reject that, then God will deal with that person. So we know that once we have a peace with Jesus Christ, then the peace will overflow into our relationships, and there will be no dividing walls between us. And even in the local church here today, there should be peace, there should be unity, because we are representing the Prince of Peace. So if there's peace within ourselves, then this will be a good testimony to the world. But if there's divisions and conflicts and problems in our own church, then that's not a good witness, not a good testimony to those in the world. And how do we seek to attain this peace? We have to remember that although we have changed, although there's a lot of people that have accepted the Prince of Peace, not everybody in the world accepts him. Not everybody will want to be under the control of the Prince of Peace. There are still going to be people that will want to live their own ways. But Apostle Paul gives us a clue of how we can attain this peace with others. He does not say be at peace with everybody at all times. He says in Romans 12:18, he says, "But as if possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Sometimes it's not even possible to live at peace with all men, but as much as it depends on us, let us be a church of peace. Let us be a church that is controlled by the Prince of Peace, so that we will demonstrate to others that we have this peace. And we have to remember that working on these relationships takes a lot of time. It's not something, once I'm saved, God gave me his peace and now everything will be perfect. That is not the way things work in this world. Everything, all the relationships we have in our life takes time to develop. I'd like to end with just one more picture that I wanted to give us today. Let's just imagine a triangle. God is up here and there's a triangle. God, a husband and wife is right here. So this is applicable to all relationships. The closer we get to God, so if a husband and wife is not doing the right thing, if they're not seeking to be close to each other, then they're if they're not seeking to be close with God, then they are far away from each other. But as soon as they start to pray, as soon as they start to read the Bible, as soon as they start to raise their kids in a godly way, they get not only closer to God, they get closer to each other. And this is the same way in all our relationships. That's why the Prince of Peace is so important, that once we have peace with God, if we grow closer to God, then we get closer to each other. And this is applicable also to any relationship. If we have friends, if we're growing in a relationship with God, then we'll be growing closer together. If we have a relationship with our son and daughter, if we're teaching them about the Prince of Peace and developing them in the Word of God, this will cause us to be closer together. And this is the peace that God offers us. This is the peace with others. We know that there will never be peace in the world until Jesus comes again and restores the peace, which is also talked about in this passage. But for now, while we're here in our flesh, the only way we can have the peace with others is if we have peace with God. So we looked at this short passage here, that the only way we can have peace with others is we have to understand that we have to have peace with God, and then he gives us his peace, and this will overflow into our relationship with others. So let's learn to live under the control of the Prince of Peace. Another really wonderful passage from the book of Isaiah is verse 26, chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are set steadfast because they trust in you." So let's learn to trust in the Prince of Peace, and let's learn that trust that God always wants the best for us. And if we have this total dependence on him, if we trust him totally, then he will, then we will have his peace, and that this peace will overflow into a relationship with others. May the name of the Lord be blessed. We have an opportunity to pray together right now. Let's bow down and pray to the Lord. Amen.